Love Sport Radio. On digital radio, online, mobile and smart speaker. This is the Norwich City Fans Show.
From the Barclay and the Snake Pit to the river and around, it's the anthem.
We really should become a music station here on Love Sport, because I thoroughly enjoy these Sunday evenings. It always seems to be Sundays when the music just gets a little bit more creative. We don't like to keep things the same here on Love Sport. There's always a change, always something new, always something fresh, always something to welcome, just like 3 points for Norwich in the Premier League. The first time the Canaries bagged 3 points in the Premier League since late November with that win away at Everton. And the first time the Canaries have bagged 3 points in the Premier League at Carrow Road, all the way back when, in mid-September, with that incredible evening and a 3-2 victory over Manchester City. Well, they've done it again, the boys, Daniel Farker's boys, just when you thought it had all gone, just when you thought it was out of the window and Norwich stood no chance of survival in the Premier League. They go and beat relegation rivals Bournemouth 1-0. They left people on the edge of their seats, but boy, did they do it well. Norwich City 1, AFC Bournemouth 0. On the line now, we have Michael Bailey, Norwich City reporter for The Athletic. Hello, Michael.
Hello, good evening.
Mate, lovely to have you on the line. A good weekend, really, if you're a Canaries fan.
Yeah, that felt like a very long time coming, has to be said. It is remarkable thinking back to the Manchester City victory and how much positivity there was still around, probably as a residual from the previous season. I don't think there'd be many people who would have thought Norwich wouldn't win another game at home until approaching the end of January, pretty much. So it's been a very long time coming. I don't think you can ignore how much damage that run has done to where Norwich are. And, despite the fact that they picked up a crucial victory, they've still got a huge amount of work to do. But at least there's a bit of hope that maybe they can possibly use it as a spark. And it'll be really interesting to see now how they deal with the forthcoming games.
Yep, if you're going to do it, you've got to beat the teams around you, Michael, and getting a win against the Bournemouth side, who are, free fall, really, in the Premier League. Really difficult times for Eddie Howe, which showed after the game as well, himself admitting he doesn't really know what else he can do. He can't work any harder. He's always honest, as is Daniel Farker as well. And it was nice to see Farker in a bit more upbeat mood yesterday.
Yeah, I would. Daniel's pretty good, to be fair. He doesn't really change much. He tends to let himself get a bit frustrated by refereeing decisions and VAR things every so often. But generally, he's been as good as any Norwich manager I've dealt with in terms of keeping quite level. And in his first season, he had a lot of difficult moments to deal with, and he's been pretty much on top of things still this year. I mean, it's so hard at the bottom of the table. You look at the teams that are involved, that I have no doubt there will be two teams at least that get relegated who won't be prepared or really wanting to contemplate what it means for them playing in the Championship and all the financial issues that come with it. I think Norwich have had a degree of realism with what their season would look like, so that does at least put them in a better sort of starting position. Some fans have maybe criticised them for that to a degree because they haven't wanted it to be a defeatist or fatalistic campaign, but they've only had so much money available to them and haven't wanted to push the boat beyond anything that they feel they could afford. So there's a degree of understanding with that. It's difficult with Bournemouth, and it'll be difficult for whoever does go down, because football does always have a cyclical nature, and the idea that you can become an established Premier League club for probably two-thirds of the teams in the division is a fallacy, really, because any time in the next 5 years you can find yourself relegated. So there'll be a lot of pressure on a lot of different teams over the remainder of this season. I suppose at least Norwich have a freedom from that. What we're still waiting to see from them, though, is whether they're actually good enough to get enough points to really put them in the mix.
Yeah, it's a great point you make, Michael, about being an established, in inverted commas, Premier League club. I wonder how long it takes for you to actually commit yourself and be recognised as an established Premier League club. Because, like you say, it's hard. You don't really know. AFC Bournemouth, I suppose you could say, were an established Premier League club. But if they do go down this season, they are no longer a Premier League club. So it kind of defeats itself, really, that particular term, doesn't it?
It does indeed, and in answer to your question, for most clubs, there's no way of doing it. To be honest, I think, you know, someone like Stoke had been held up as an example for almost a decade, and you know, it just takes no time at all for it to unravel. Swansea first went up with Norwich back in 2011, I think it was, and you know, Norwich fans were critical of the setup here. Because Swansea looked like they'd completely cracked it. But again, I think it's very hard because there's a huge demand on fans to deliver something at a football club to make sure the club is always pursuing and spending enough to keep up with everyone else. But then if it unravels, there's a lot of blame and you sometimes, obviously there tend to be bad decisions, but I think the issues come when a club just doesn't contemplate or adjust to what the possibility could be. And Norwich have had that themselves when they spent 3 years up in the Premier League after 2011 themselves. You know, a couple of bad transfer windows, they spent more money than they should have done, and then they sort of paid that financial price even though they went back up again. They were swiftly relegated and had to sort of pay that price over the last two years before it all came together again.
Well, let's talk about the game itself, Michael. And I predicted / speculated, I suppose you could say, on the show last week, after a certain Andrzej Duda had signed for the club. He wears number 25. He is 25 years old. And I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it just be funny if he got his debut next weekend and scored in the 25th minute? He wasn't too far off, mate. He was not far off at all. Steve Cook handball was, I think it was just before the half hour mark. So he came very close. Of course, it was a Duda shot. But what a save from Cook.
Yes, it was a brilliant save. We were right behind it, and he sort of tipped it onto the post. And I think it was one of those things where everyone who saw it couldn't quite believe what they'd just seen. And I mean, I think it was Steve Cook's first sending off in 400-odd appearances.
Incredible.
Or something like that. So, you know, I think he got a bit of criticism, and it was clearly a ridiculous thing to do. But I don't know how often he's been in that situation where the goalkeeper's out of his goal, someone's shooting, and he's literally found himself in between the shot and the goal. So I suppose it's difficult to know, and you don't know. Norwich's penalty record is fairly atrocious. Had they missed the penalty, you know, Norwich didn't score for the rest of the game, so it could have still finished goalless. You don't know, but I think it was a remarkable moment. I think for Norwich, it was so crucial to get themselves ahead in the game, which they have done a lot at Carrow Road. But I think then with how the dynamic of this particular game was, you know, it would have been fairly remarkable for them to not see it out. Andre Duda is really interesting. I think there was a lot of encouragement there from how he used the ball. He did look like a step up from anyone who's played in the number 10 role this season for Norwich, which is really good to see. And it will be really interesting to see how he then sort of develops over the coming games, because I think, you know, he's not played a huge amount of football recently, and, you know, the German sides have been on their winter break. So he's probably just nicely refreshed, but hopefully with a little bit of room to find his rhythm now.
Were you surprised to see him in the starting lineup? I mean, is it a bit unlike Farker to bring someone in straight away and have them starting?
Yes, it is unlike him. I wasn't surprised. I think when you listen to him speak about it before the game, it was clear that he felt the number 10 area, and from speaking to other people at the club, it just hadn't produced enough goal output for Norwich. And I think, you know, there was room for Daniel to parachute someone straight in, someone who had been training full time and had been fit, but just hadn't been played. So there was a degree of being ready and available. And I think there's a degree of freedom that probably comes with that role. And I think there were teething problems, you know, with playing someone like Duda and then as well Emi Buendia and Todd Campbell. You've got three players who love to occupy central space. They love to be involved as much as possible. and that rotation was quite important. It didn't always work, especially when Bournemouth were sitting quite deep. But to be fair, I think the risk of playing someone with the quality of Judah probably outweighed the teething troubles of knowing where everyone should be at any particular time. And again, that bodes well, because that was a pretty useful starting point. You could see the potential of linking up with Tamer Pukki and also the way Duda and Buendia and Cantwell all link together. So there's promise there if that can develop, which you'd like to think over time will happen. And again, to be honest, I'm interested to see what it looks like on Wednesday away from home, where there should be a bit more room and Norwich should have more opportunities to play in transition and on the counter. I think that, again, if they can be tight enough and stay in the game, should give them something to work with.
Not the only debutant as well. Lucas Rupp came on right at the end of the game. He's another midfielder signed from Germany, from Hoffenheim. Now, we spoke on the show last week about where Norwich needed to strengthen, and I argued the fact that maybe midfield wasn't potentially that area. But the fact that Duda's come in, the fact that Rupp has come in as well now, does that signify to you that maybe a couple of names might go out the door before the month ends?
No, would be my honest answer. I think I'm pretty confident that unless someone comes up with really stupid money, which I don't think anyone would probably be tempted to do, because they will assume that whoever they want will probably be cheaper in the summer. I think Norwich will ride it out. I think it's proving a challenging month, because I think there is a lot of speculation, and I think there are a lot of people talking, and I don't think that is ideal situation when you've got young players who are going to be having conversations with their agents and people who they know, and they'll know what the speculation is, and if they're being linked to Tottenham or Man United or Liverpool or whoever, they'll probably start, it just puts different pressures on situations. I think a lot of those players have been very good, but it will be really interesting to see who actually comes in with concrete bids, whether that's this window, probably more likely in the summer, and how many actually have the courage of their convictions and their cash. That will be fascinating how it plays out. I think Norwich are aware they will have to sell, or probably as a tool in development more than anything, whether they stay up or get relegated. I think they know that that's part of their model, and reinvesting that in players that can then hopefully step in and become the sort of the next one along the line. That's how Norwich want to do it. So I think they're well versed in that. And I think with obviously Duda is on loan and it's a temporary signing, but I think with Rupp there is that's an experienced head who's played high level football for a long time, coming in on a 2.5 year deal for 10% of the fee he was or would have been potentially in the summer just gone. I think he offers a bit of stability and a bit of experience in a group that is quite useful in a lot of areas. So you can see what the planning is there. I think there are a few inside Carrow Road who can't wait for February to arrive, if they're honest. And then we can just crack on with how the rest of the season pans out. And then at least when you get to the summer, you definitively know what you're dealing with.
I have to say, I loved Rupp's comments upon joining the club. The old classic cliches, you have to laugh at it. Very happy to be here. It is a childhood dream. Now, I'm guessing he's referring to, or he's maybe suggesting that the childhood dream is to play in the Premier League. I'm guessing that Lucas Rupp didn't sit at home on Christmas with a Norwich City shirt for a
never
present.
Know.
Who knows with these new signings. But Michael, in terms of the result, just to finish, I mean, this is crucial for a couple of reasons, of course. Yes, the victory is great. It's the first home clean sheet of the season. I think that is massive, and it's also big in the sense that, you know, yes, Norwich have taken points off bigger teams this season, of course, the game with City, Tottenham, of course, and Arsenal, in fact, as well. You look at games against the teams in and around them, Villa, Watford, Brighton, Burnley, West Ham, all didn't take points off of those teams. To win this one is a real statement of intent, something that I think the club needed, the team needed psychologically to get over that barrier.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, it's been almost impossible to analyse what Norwich are doing right and wrong when, you know, they beat Manchester City at home and they draw with Arsenal and with Spurs, and that was a game they probably should have won. Yet they just seem incapable of beating teams where you're watching them, and they were really comfortable in the first half against Sheffield United, and I know they're having a great season, but I am going to draw a comparison given that they were both promoted this season. But really, for 10 sloppy minutes at the start of the second half, that cost them a victory as far as I'm concerned, because I didn't think Sheffield United were particularly impressive for most of that game. It's sort of perplexing how Norwich failed to take a single point off Aston Villa in two games, and that could be the sort of double that really does cost them when we get to the sort of end of it. But you know, Norwich do have the opportunities between now and then to pick up enough wins to stay up if they do it in the right places, and they do it against the teams they need to beat. That's the reality of it. It is still in their hand. It's going to take a monumental effort, and they will have to still play better than they did on Saturday. But they haven't been playing badly, I have to say. For a couple of months, they've been pretty consistent. The game at Old Trafford was kind of a disaster in how they played, but away from that, they've done really well, and they've just been a bit naive and a bit unfortunate in places. And I guess the bit I'm now waiting to see, now they've got a bit of a spark, there's no more excuses. It's not about let's get this first win. They've got that now. It's genuinely a question of whether they've learned from everything they've done and can build on it and keep the performance level to where it needs to be. If they do and they're still losing games, then I think most will have to acknowledge that they're just not good enough. If they can start delivering it, then you get some momentum behind you, then it can become quite exciting. So it really will be fascinating what happens from here. It might only last until 20 minutes against Spurs on Wednesday, but it might not. We'll see how it goes.
We will indeed. Michael Bailey, thank you very much for joining us. Norwich writer for The Athletic there. And like you said, Norwich travel to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Wednesday for that reverse fixture when they were robbed earlier in the campaign, just a few weeks ago now, of course, at the back end of that Christmas period. The couple of VAR calls there, of course, in that game going against Norwich, as they kind of did yesterday as well, to be fair. Ben Godfrey sending off. Yes, probably a sending off, but you heard the Norwich fans singing quite loudly about their opposition towards VAR. We won't get into it. Let's not do the whole VAR thing. This is the Norwich City Fan Show. Like we said, it's Spurs up next. We're going to be talking all things Tottenham.
This is Love Sport. The Norwich City Fan Show on Love Sport with ImpactSports.uk, the latest power brand for CBD. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Yes, it is the Opposition View on Love Sport. On this, the Norwich City Fan Show, we've just heard from Michael Bailey, Norwich City correspondent for The Athletic. And now we are going to hear from Ben Daniel from We Are Tottenham TV, just to give us his prediction, his thoughts, his feelings ahead of the clash between Spurs and the Canaries this Wednesday evening. Hello, Ben.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, boss. Great to have you on the line. We like a stat here on Love Sport. So I'm going to start with one, mate, straight off the bat. In the two Premier League games, as you will be well aware, where Harry Kane has been out for Spurs, no goals, my friend. No goals.
No. It's been difficult since Harry Kane has been out, because, you know, since Jose Mourinho has come, we've liked to play with a focal point up front. And since he's been out injured, it's been literally no one up there. You know, he doesn't want to play Parrott. He's kind of untested at the moment and obviously very young to have the whole weight of the team on his shoulders. And Lucas Moura can't really do it up front by himself. I think when you look back to when Pochettino was the manager, when Harry Kane went out injured, our team looked a little more fluid up front, and we used to get at teams and even score more goals when Harry Kane was out injured. But it's just not the same under Jose Mourinho because of the different style of football that we actually play.
Oh no, mate. Are we already doing those sentences back when Maurizio Pochettino was manager? Has it already come to that?
mate, I've been doing it since the second week of Jose Mourinho's reign. I still look at Pochettino with a tear in my eye.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it is, because you know, we've gone from a team that have been known for their aggressive, progressive football, defending from the front, pressing from the front. And now, we just don't have the players anymore to do that. But now, the football is just very boring, like I say. Most of the time, we're just lumping up to the top, really.
Well, of course, I mean, in terms of Champions League spots now, it's 8 points adrift of Chelsea as things stand. A 0-0 draw yesterday against Watford, and it could have been worse. I mean, a decent Paolo Gazzaniga save, not the best penalty from Troy Deeney, but it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot better had it not been for 10 millimetres or so from Ignacio Pacetto clearing that one off the line pretty much near the end of the game. But your thoughts on yesterday? Jose Mourinho, I have to say, after the game, just seemed his usual Mourinho that we've come to know and not really like that much. He seems like that honeymoon period he had at Spurs is already gone. It's only taken a few games.
Yeah, I mean, the performances and results did take an upturn. I think even now, performances and results are still better than the last 3 or 4 weeks under Pochettino, because those kind of weeks we knew we were just going to get battered. But now, I think defence has shored up somewhat. You know, we kept a clean sheet now against Watford, which was hard to do. Troy Deeney was at his old tricks, you know, really battering it into Jan Vertonghen. But I think the way the game went yesterday, I think first 20 minutes, I thought we came out of the blocks really well. And I thought, I haven't seen us start like that for a while. And then I think Watford kind of imposed their physical presence on the game. And then it was difficult for us. But I think slowly, we are taking slow steps forward. But we just need to get it quicker because, you know, we're getting further and further behind Chelsea now, even though we did make up a point on them on the weekend.
Yeah, you did make up one point, I suppose. A man that we often speak about whenever discussing Tottenham Hotspur, pretty much any news outlet, anybody speaking about Spurs is speaking about Christian Eriksen. Without him again, for large swathes of yesterday, came on with about, 15-odd minutes to go. Every time we have a Spurs fan on the line, they always say, yeah, no, Eriksen definitely going. He's still there.
I know. Every game, we're just like, this is his last game. And like 3 games ago, he was waving to the crowd. He was giving his shirt away. It's a really strange one. For me, if a player's going or nearly out the door, I don't understand the need to play him every week. Albeit, he didn't play many minutes against Watford, but he started the 3 games before that. So I don't understand the whole why we're playing Christian Eriksen. Because if it was up to me, I would just keep him on the bench, not even bring him on, or not even put him in the squad whatsoever. I just don't understand why the need to play him. I really don't. Because his performances look like he's about to leave. They really do.
Yeah, it does indeed. And we look ahead to the game this Wednesday. Daniel, Norwich, of course, coming off the back of a first win in quite a while yesterday. Big win for them against Bournemouth. And how do you see this one going? Because Norwich have been, you know, not great on their travels really this season. Yes, they did win away at Everton. But a team that are coming into this one with their tails up, I suppose, as opposed to a Spurs team, not coming into this with the most amount of confidence, the most amount of harmony still in that squad.
I mean, you say we don't have the most amount of confidence, and yeah, you're probably right, but I think our last 2 Premier League games was against Liverpool and Watford on the weekend, 2 very hard games, and I think we gave a good account of ourselves against Liverpool. Everyone expected us to get battered that game. I expected 4 or 5 to go past us, but I think we put in a really strong defensive display, and I think we put a really strong defensive display in on the weekend. But obviously, like I mentioned before, with the focal point of Harry Kane, we look a bit toothless up front. So I think I can't see a lot of goals against Norwich, to be honest. I've been really impressed with Norwich. I know they haven't been getting the results and stuff, but they play really good football, really nice brand of football. I just put Teemu Pukki in my team this weekend, so I was nicely surprised when he got that penalty on the weekend. But how do I see the game going? I think we're going to win it. I really do, because we haven't won in ages now. We haven't won since we beat Brighton, and we just have to win. And I think.
But is that what it is, though? But it's almost a case of I think we'll win because we haven't won in ages. I mean, I know we talk about law of averages, and essentially you need to get back to winning ways. But
law of averages. That's the way the world works.
In terms of how Jose might set up his Spurs team to face Norwich, I mean, yes, we saw them play very well yesterday against Bournemouth in a game they needed to win. You'd look at their performances this season, they've taken points off Arsenal, off City, off some of those big clubs.
Taking points off us.
Yeah, exactly. So they take points off the bigger teams in the divisions.
No, they do exactly that. But I think it's a different game from when we played Norwich about a month ago. I think a month ago, our defence was extremely leaky, and we let in two sloppy goals against Norwich. I think the defence has shored up a bit since then. I think Tanganga has come in and done a brilliant job. I think Toby Alderweireld and Jan Vertonghen on the weekend looked like the centre-back pairing, which we haven't seen them look like in this season, to be honest. I think when you're looking at our right-back position, that's the dodgy one, because Serge Aurier, I felt he was awful on the weekend, gave away the ball countless amount of times. And I think where Norwich are going to have success is down that right-hand side of ours. So it's going to be a tricky one, but I think that we're going to be solid in defence. And I think if we can hit Norwich on the counter, I can't believe I'm saying this, Norwich come to White Hart Lane and we're going to try and hit them on the counter. But that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, thank you very much for joining us, boss. That was Ben Daniel there from We Are Tottenham TV. Of course, the Canaries travelling to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Wednesday for what is a massive game in the Premier League.